going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Did you like hearing Bears coach Ben Johnson say the Bears?
We might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials.
On their team after the NFL draft. Do you like his encouraging competition for plays, especially on the offensive side?
What I'm going to be curious to see is what guys look like when the ball's not in their hands on offense. Okay? Yeah, you're right. We have a lot of weapons. And so how are you going to run your route when you might not be number one in the progression? Okay? How are you going to block for your teammate when he has the ball? Because if you do those things right, then as a coaching staff, we're going to want to get you the ball a little bit more.
Reaction to what you hear from head coach Ben Johnson.
Yeah, you know, I think it was the Bears added two matchup nightmares with their first two picks in the draft. They got themselves a tight end who can stretch the seam, who is going to be an absolute problem for coordinators that want to match him up against a linebacker or safety. You're going to have to figure out a better way of dealing with that guy, and it's going to be a real problem. And then Luther Burden III, his run after catch ability is fantastic. So if they can get the ball out quickly, get the ball in the hands of these guys, they're going to score more points. That is definitely what they're trying to do. And they've got improved weaponry. There's not a shadow of a doubt. It's going to be really interesting to see how the play action game, how those weapons feed off the play action game, if they can get going in the play action game. You know, it's hardly a complete and balanced kind of thing right now. But, man, they did add a couple of more really good weapons to go with DJ Moore and Roma Dunze and some of the things that they've already done. So you got to like that, and you got to appreciate the coach saying that they will be monitoring how everyone does. Because if you got multiple guys that all you got to do is get the ball in their hands and they're going to score, then – you better be able to score when that happens, or you're going to lose out on reps.
I hear again, no block, no rock. I think that's just something that's going to be a T-shirt potentially for the wide receivers. No block, no rock. That's what I'm hearing.
You knew Ben Johnson was excited because I do think that you don't hear him often kind of the malaprop, but it is turning the notch up a couple dials is actually turning the dial up a couple of notches.
Yes.
So you know he was excited because even Ben Johnson went kind of full floose on us here. So you know he was fired up. I don't know who he's talking to. I suppose this is good to hear from your head coach. I don't know that DJ Moore needed a message sent. Did he?
No.
Did Cole Kmet need a message sent? I don't think this has anything to do with Cole Kmet's commitment to working hard and feeling competitive. This has to do with two guys in Colston Loveland and Luther Burden that have skill sets the Bears don't necessarily have in surplus on their roster. That was the reason these guys were taken. And if you want to big picture it and he wants to say there is no depth chart, then that's the tone he has to set. That's the message that this whole new coaching staff has to carry. They're starting over, and they have a fresh set of eyes and a new approach, and everything about last year is last year. But I think that I like the idea of him starting over and going in there with no depth chart. I don't know how realistic it is, but we'll figure it out. There are a couple guys. How many of these rookies will contribute in a meaningful way? I mean, we'll get into some of the specifics later, but obviously the first two picks, if they don't factor into the passing game, I don't know why they were chosen where they were. But I think that's more just common sense and grasping the reality and taking advantage of guys who are on the board more than it was sending a message that, you know, okay, there is no depth chart. I don't think anybody really believes that.
Oh, boy. Good question.
Coach Dave Wannstedt's voice there. You'll hear more from him at 7:25. You can also watch that on Twitch. We evaluated the first round of the Bears draft on Friday. So how would you evaluate day two and day three? What was the best pick in those days, and which pick was the biggest reach?
Well, I look at day two and day three, and even you could lump day one in there if you want. I would never know. Nobody would ever know if you didn't read it in his bio that the Bears general manager played offensive tackle in college. You would never know that this was the work of a former offensive lineman. Because stereotypically, you would think that former offensive linemen, guys who went to college on scholarship for their ability to block and spend 4 years in the trenches, would want to build their football team from the ball on out. And that is certainly not what this general manager has done. This is his fourth draft. By the end of the show, I hope that somebody can define for me what his traits are as a drafter, as somebody who is as an architect of a football team. Mm-hmm. What blueprint is he working off of? Is it build from the ball on out, focus on the trenches, or is it go for skill and worry about the rest later? Or is it whatever I feel like on any given day and any given pick is a direction I'm going to go because I operate by letting the board talk to me? You know what the board's saying to you? Grasp the obvious. Look at your depth chart. You should have one. So the overall draft, you're not upset about. But I do think it's very curious. The longer this went on Friday and Saturday, the more curious it became. So the best pick, I think when we look back in 5 years, the best pick is going to be Luther Burden III, because I do think he's the most dangerous. The biggest reach, I was surprised that they took Ozzie Tripillo from Boston College. When they need a left tackle, they drafted a guy with better experience at right tackle. And he's big, and everyone says the same thing. He's tall, and he needs to work on getting lower. But if he's not ready to play this season, then that will be a reach. And if he isn't ready to play this season, why did you take him in the second round? So, fair questions. It's early in the draft, but we're all going to have our initial reactions to these picks.
David, I think that was very well said, by the way. He's got to get this offensive line thing right at some point. And he went to BC, which it bothered me a little bit. When you see a hype video or a highlight, I mean, there's some good stuff that they showed. They showed a matchup, his work against another higher draft pick. I saw a video about that. So it's good. The guy who I'm intrigued about, and part of it was I thought it was maybe the funniest line of the weekend, definitely the funniest comment out of a Bears-drafted player's mouth, which was the whole idea of take their lunch money. And that's from Shamar Turner, Texas A&M. And we've been talking about, like, the Bears have needed that three technique guy for forever. This guy seems to mark all the boxes on that stuff. And he's into violence, likes to hit people.
In terms of the mentality?
Yeah. Right.
Not necessarily body type, but mentality.
Mentality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I guy that I think potentially, he's a guy that makes sense for what they brought in Grady Jarrett. He's not going to be here for more than 2 or 3 years. Like, this guy could learn from him and eventually become his replacement. And I think that's the kind of thing that we were talking about building the O-line, the D-line, depth and rotation. Obviously, rotation on the D-line. I think he fits that thing that we wanted when we started talking about this draft.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting to listen to a guy kind of explain how, hey, you know, the draft is the draft and there are pockets in it and sometimes they don't match what you're doing. And I feel like with other draft meisters, it's not about putting together the board and just showing great discipline. It's about manipulating the board and trying to get certain people out of it. You know, I'm going to walk away with this guy and this guy and this guy. And you don't get the sense that that's something that he does. You don't get the sense that there is, as you say, kind of a Ryan Poles type of player. He just sort of takes what comes to him, and
I want to get back to that.
Yeah,
what that actually is.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting.
What is a Ryan Poles type of player?
Yeah,
it's year four.
Well, we should know that there should be a type of player. And unfortunately, I don't know that there is. I think that it's, you know, it's not like the guy can't draft anyone, but it's also not like he's taken Pro Bowl talent every year in and year out. Now, you know, he really needs to have done well with the 2024 draft. I think when all is said and done, he needs to have hit it out of the park with the quarterback and with the wide receiver. And if indeed these moves are going to make the quarterback a better player, which they probably will help that, and hiring the coach, etc. So if that is the idea behind it, that's great. But I don't know what I'm surprised by the offensive line pick. I just felt they had a chance to just stay where they were at and get a left tackle, and then maybe we'd feel differently about this draft. But we need to go into pick after pick and figure out exactly who this guy is and what he's looking for. It seems like he's looking for something out of the draft, but it's more kind of following the board he put together than it is manipulating it.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
There's going to be a lot of questions on the draft process.
That, of course, is the voice of Ryan Poles. Are you satisfied by hearing GM Ryan Poles tell the media?
I mean, every draft has, like, just pockets that you just don't fall into.
Is this his way of explaining why the Bears came away with what they did and what they didn't over the crucial weekend of player procurement? What did the Bears miss out on, and how do you recommend they address the resulting problems?
You did a fine job with that question.
Too much alliteration?
That was excellent. Procurement. Who wrote that one?
One of us.
Me. No shot.
The whole pockets of the draft thing, right? I mean, I get it. I understand what he's trying to say. He's trying to say, yeah, you know, we would love to have had a left tackle, but they all went off the board. And you don't want to reach when you're getting your chance. But, I mean, I watched the draft too, you know, and when Luther Burden was there, that was the guy they clearly wanted. They had, like, the room blew up, okay? They really thought they couldn't believe they got the guy. They were all – and you know, you're watching it, and you're looking, and you're like, oh, you know, like, look who is on the phone talking. They're not getting a lineman here. They're not trying to get – you know, they got a wide receiver.
No, they're cooking with hot grease.
And they there were like, I mean, it wasn't just hugs. It was like, you know, family reunions, haven't seen you in 30 years. My God, you're still alive. It was really something special to witness. But I think, you know, I like the defensive tackle. I like that he's got an anger issue, and I like that it – you know what I mean?
If you're ever going to have a position with an anger issue, it's defensive tackle.
Exactly right. That's exactly what you want, you know? I wouldn't mind an angry offensive lineman either, and I don't know that they got one. But who knows? We'll see how it all works out. I find that a weak argument, frankly, that the pockets of the draft didn't matter. You know, listen, you got to get a running back out of this. You don't need a linebacker in that spot. You need a running back. Go get a running back. You got to get a running back out of this. You already took a linebacker. As much as you'd like to help out Al Harris, go get yourself a running back at
that
point.
But he texted him.
I don't care.
He texted him in February.
Yeah, you're not allowed.
Come on.
You're not allowed to avoid the positions you have to get because there's positions you had to get.
Does Dan Rochard not own a cell phone?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is he more at fault than Bieniemy?
But I think if I understand it right, and that's always up for debate, they targeted a guy. That guy got picked right before them. Then instead of staying at that position, in this case, running back, let's say, they decide, well, we wanted that particular running back. That particular running back got picked right before we planned on picking him. So now we just got a phone call from the Bills again. And we're going to make another deal with them. I mean,
have them on hold.
Right. Hold on, Bills. One second, yeah. Please.
But we talked like for 2 days about the left tackle from Minnesota being the last one.
Yeah.
So when you got Luther Burden, and then you came right back, and instead of taking a left tackle,
that's who I'm going to keep an eye on.
Well, that's the problem.
That's it.
Instead of taking that player, you traded down, and then he was gone by the time you picked. And you knew he was going to be gone.
You knew he was going to go.
But that's the question. Like, but so did they not like him as much as we liked him?
That's got
to
be it.
You know what it has to be?
That's got to be it.
It has to be they had a little bit later round on him. Well, we could take him in the next round.
He wasn't in that pocket?
He wasn't in.
Different pocket?
It was a different cloud.
Different cloud?
The pocket didn't match the cloud. Like Polly Pockets wasn't in the cloud.
All right. So when you look at the Bears in the third round, and actually in the second round, you go back and you start when the Ohio State running backs came off the board, I do believe that probably affected the Bears' thought process. when Judkins and Trevion Henderson went to within two picks of each other, that was the beginning of this pocket not providing what the Bears might have been looking for. We're assuming here.
Can I ask a question very quickly?
Yeah.
Along those lines, do you think every team in the draft knew exactly what the Bears were looking for at that spot?
Yes.
So that has to come into play as well.
I would think that probably did make the Patriots.
You're never going to get the pocket right if everyone knows what you're up to.
The Patriots get Trevion Henderson in the sixth pick of the second round, and Judkins goes to the Browns. So that I think, affected the thinking, and every team knows that you needed a left tackle and a running back. Heck, we've been talking about that for months. And then you look at, all right, well, third round. Well, they got out of the third round, and there goes Caleb Johnson. You're not picking him in the third round because the Steelers took him. Great pick. Great pick for the Steelers. And then you get into the fourth, and we start on Saturday. I think when they saw Cam Scatterboo go to the Giants at the third pick of the fourth round, they probably regretted not moving ahead of them. They probably did at some point in time.
Sweetheart, get me rewrite.
Get me the Bills.
Sweetheart, get me the Buffalo Bills.
Give me the Bills, because they are out of luck at that point. So these pockets are not just pockets you fall into. You've got to be able to stitch your own pocket.
You create
yes.
pockets.
Yes. You get out your sewing machine, you get out the spool of thread, and you stitch your own pocket.
Yeah. Next question.
Like that.
How about a hot pocket? Are we throwing the word?
No, I'm hungry.
Stud.
Around haphazardly these days at Hallis Hall. Number one pick Colston Loveland used it to describe quarterback Caleb Williams. Head coach Ben Johnson used it to describe second rounder wide receiver Luther Burden III. Shouldn't such a word be preserved for a guy like the 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. That only applies to Kyle Shanahan?
He's a stud.
Kyle Shanahan's got a quarterback situation on his hands out there. That stud, he's going to have to be one. So I thought Luther Burden was a dog, not a stud. I thought he said he was a dog. Like Jameson Williams, who came from East St. Louis as well, he texted Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson got a text from Jameson Williams from the Lions and said, "You got yourselves a dog like me." So if he's like Jameson Williams, the Bears have themselves something special. Luther Burden can be a special player. Stud, dog. He's a problem. Let's agree on that. He's going to be a problem for defenses. I hope he plays a ton of snaps. How are they going to get everyone on the field at the same time? They got all these receivers. They got all these guys. They got a dog and a stud.
Yeah, it's a way overused word. I didn't mind it. You want the tight end. You want the first pick to come in and say that he's excited to play with last year's number one pick, and that's fine. I feel like the head coach had to use as many positive words on Burden III because that was clearly his pick. Like, there's not – that was clearly
Dustin,
the guy he wanted.
This was clearly his draft.
Yeah, the first two picks were all
this
his.
Was clearly the Ben Johnson draft.
No question.
See, I
brought to you by Ryan Poles.
I think with all due respect,
okay.
And I haven't been confliction so far this morning. But I think once we got past Saturday, like later on Saturday after you guys got off the air, I think that's when it turned to the Ryan Poles
draft.
Well,
that's when the Scouts take over.
Right.
Well, that's what but I'm saying.
But drafts are usually defined by your first three rounds.
Right, but I'm saying, but I think it then took a very sharp turn. There were a couple of times things I picked up on social media where like Ben like looks over and glares at him when he gets into the whole pocket thing, right? And like there were, I just felt like we're not gonna, you know, we have our board, we're gonna trust our board, and Ben like kind of, you know, glances over at him like, oh, okay,
because yeah, we sure got to get did. Back to cooking with hot grease.
I thought you would be particularly enamored of that word since you've obsessed over it for so long.
Well, I think you used it incorrectly on that coach.
Well, you know, that was about 5 years ago now while
at
Dustin
least.
Was bad-mouthing the future. I don't even think he was the head coach at that point.
It's hard to call him a stud when he couldn't hold on to the lead against the Patriots. I mean, that was where it all came from.
Guy's pretty good coach.
It's all right.
Yeah. You're talking about when he was an offensive coordinator.
Correct, with the Falcons, yes.
Yeah, and I dismissed what you said by saying he's a stud. And you taunted me for how long? Till now. So that's why this came back when everyone's now throwing the word stud around like everyone gets to say it, okay? So I'm making a point. I do think that Caleb Williams needs to be a stud, and I think Luther Burden III needs to be a stud too. If the Bears have a couple of studs that can make the Pro Bowl, then the Bears are going to be significantly better. This will improve them quite a bit. And the quarterback will get a lot better the more players make plays after the catch. And if you got a poor man's Deebo Samuel as opposed to the actual Deebo Samuel, I'll take it and run like a thief in the night.
Wow. You know, it's a scary good question, right?
Voice of Bruce Levine. He's with you guys at 825 to talk about the Cubs and the Sox. How surprising was it that Craig Counsell was so blunt when discussing Ben Brown?
You know, we need better, frankly. And, you know, to be a starter, you know, it's the length in the game that we need more from. You know, and whether it's, you know, kind of pitches in within innings that kind of get you in trouble, or an inning like today, you know, as a starter, you got to be able to navigate and kind of limit damage, give up runs. Yeah, it's going to happen, but you got to be able to navigate the damage to get your way into games.
Is that the right approach with a young pitcher? Is Counsell more direct this year?
I really liked hearing that from Craig Counsell. You know why? Because he's correct. Because what he's saying is exactly right. You know, Ben Brown has got a very bright future, but they need it to arrive sooner than maybe he's ready to deliver it. I think he's a really good pitcher who can do some really good things. But everything the council said is absolutely correct. You got to be able to trust him. You got to be able to give him the ball, and he's got to go, and he's got to keep going. And I think there is nothing wrong with challenging him, and making sure he knows what the standard is and where the bar is set. I don't know that I love it at a news conference, but I'm hopeful they have these conversations. And he's telling them that, hey, listen, we need you. We need you to step up and to take the ball and to pitch the way you pitched that one time. Do that every time. And I think that it's a fair thing for a manager to say. Again, I hope he's saying it to him in person.
I think they want Ben Brown to be now the third best pitcher on this team. And just he started that inning off by hitting Kyle Schwarber and then a bunch of singles. Now, the other day, we were giving him crap, and I was right there doing it, about the fact that he was walking too many guys. Like, put the ball down. So, you know, he had 5 Ks. He only had the one walk, but the hit by the pitch. A bunch of singles. But how about after the game last night? And speaking to the second part of this question about him being more direct this
year.
I mean, I wanted him DFA'd or sent down to the minors last week. And Bruhan last night, I mean, do you understand what's going on?
No, he did not.
He did not. And he said he's got to go after the ball.
He's got to attack the ball.
He took a step back.
Yes.
And then he
Who was
doubled.
Running, Dustin? Who was running?
A very fast Trey Turner.
Yes, exactly.
Right. You got to know. And you got a guy in third base.
So, I know.
I mean, what are you doing?
I watched it.
What are you doing?
You're losing the game.
At that point, what should he have done? He should have, since he took the step back, he should have looked the runner back at third. That's what he should have done. Should have looked.
Bases were loaded.
Huh?
I think the bases were loaded.
No. Were they loaded?
Yeah.
Well, then he should have went home.
He should have done something.
Yeah, not taking a step back.
Okay, so this is about Craig Counsell being more direct. I think, yes, Ben Brown needs a third pitch. Ben Brown's going to be an asset to the Cubs. When he develops that third pitch, he's going to be a nasty starting pitcher. Right now, he's got two pitches. They work pretty well, but I don't think against a team like the Phillies, you can have little mistakes. They turn into big innings, and that's a problem. But I love, maybe I'm just paying more attention. I love this version of Craig Counsell. This is the version of Craig Counsell they brought from Milwaukee that I think we were waiting for all last season. This is Craig Counsell. Matter of fact, look you in the eye and tell you the truth. This is Craig Counsell saying Ben Brown's got to be better. And this is after last night's loss saying that Bruhan played it wrong. And yet another third base mistake cost the Cubs in a game that was close. This is a problem, Jed Hoyer. This is a problem, Carter Hawkins. You think that Craig Counsell's honest with us? I hope that he's as honest and direct with his bosses because they got to fix the third base problem.
I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, Biggs Time, 8 a.m. this morning with Mully and Haw. What do you think of the White Sox skipper Will Venable using a opener for one inning, three games in a row? Starters Davis Martin, Jonathan Cannon, and Sean Burke took over from then. Cannon, in particular, responded with his best outing of the season. Are the Sox on to something?
All right, we're short on time. If they're ever going to experiment, this is the season to do it. You know what? Davis Martin and Jonathan Cannon responded well to coming in the second inning. Is it an anxiety thing? I think it's worth exploring when we talk to Bruce, when we talk to Stoney next, maybe even Ozzie. The Sox, are, if they're going to stick to this, it's going to be fascinating to see if they are definitely tapping into something that other teams haven't consistently and how long they're going to go this route.
It's odd. It's just it odd, right? Yeah. I mean, it's odd.
Yeah, I don't think it's odd. I think it's wise. I think that their problem is with their bullpen. So what where the anxiety is with the guys that are opening the game, it's more of a, it's just get through one inning. They're obviously in their own heads when they're trying. I don't think this has to do with the starting pitching. I think it has to do with the bullpen. And I think you're using openers as a way of putting them into less
shortening
stressful situations. Then the starter comes in and can go their length, and then you get, you know, they don't have like a proper bullpen in terms of setting up 7, 8, 9. So this is a way of kind of, as you say, shortening the game, getting more innings out of their starters by stealing one in the first inning. I thought it was really bright and really good, and I'm still sitting here right now looking, waiting to see when Tim Elko was brought up, because that guy's hit 5 home runs
Bring
in the last
up.
Week.
Bring him up.
And he hit 2 yesterday.
Yep.
And they got a guy that can't bat his weight that hit into a bad double play yesterday. They need to score runs.
I hear you.
Why don't they bring that guy up? That's my White Sox
thought. By tomorrow.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.